Good morning, and I greet you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus also said that I am the light of the world, and I think about this morning in summertime, the amount of light that is around us. This time of year, we have abundance of light, and I don't know if you ever thought about the intricacy of light. But days are longer, and usually people's spirits are directly related to how much light they have in their life. You know, if someone's discouraged, wintertime, you get to wintertime, shorter days, and there is more depression, there's more discouragement, there's more darkness. It's just the absence of light. Light in and of itself is an incredible power. It's something that man has studied. And they don't know if they have fully wrapped their minds around it, because it is a tremendous energy, but they're not totally sure what moves other than photons. Everything has a distinct light emission that they can tell what they're looking at, but looking at the infrared footprint or print from anything. You know, if you shine a light against it, what you get back is going to help you to determine what it actually is. If we consider the largest primary light that we have, we're familiar with in our world, is the sun. The amount of energy that comes from the sun, even though it's 93 million miles away, and light, the fastest known thing to mankind, it still takes 8 minutes to reach the earth. So light travels perfectly straight indefinitely until it hits an object it can be affected. If it goes into another density, it will change. But if light inside of the same density of material, or light in a vacuum, will be perfectly straight forever. It just continues on. When we look at things, we can see whether things are straight or not, and we know because of light. You know, you look at a wall, if it bows a little bit, you can pick that up if you sight it, because of light is perfectly straight. The amount of energy that comes from light, the earth receives enough light energy from the sun that it maintains its proper temperature. It gives plant life to plants, makes the weather patterns function. And there's so much light, even though we're so far away, there is so much light, you get out in direct sunlight, it can make you hot enough that you need to be cooled down, or you put sunglasses on because it's too bright, it hurts your eyes. And this is because there's a light that's so far away, but yet it has so much impact on us. The same light that can create the stunning beauty of the sunrises and the mist on the mountain that we look at as something very gentle, the same light that's there is also the same light that you can use a mirror and concentrate and make a laser that can do very delicate surgeries inside of people or cut through very thick steel. It's light. And it has its properties that people know what to expect from it, because it's always true. So for the message this morning, I want to think about the light of life. Open up your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 1. One thing we know about light is that it was created like everything else. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. There are some very basic concepts that we learned from light when God created it. First off, there was not the sun. God said, let there be light, and there was light. It was a difference between night and darkness. Another thing here, it says, and God divided the light from the darkness. So there is a distinct division between light and darkness. It's polar opposites. You cannot, if it's light, it's not dark. I can't even mind always wrapped around it. That darkness is the absence of light. And in this, in creation, he established the day and night cycle. God established that there's going to be a time of light for the day, and then there's going to be a time of darkness for rest. And that was going to get everything, together in sync. And then later in the creation, on day four, in verse 14, it said, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for years and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the earth, of the heavens, and give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens and the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." So God in his creation, he decided he was going to create lights, or a light, as we know now, that was going to rule the day, and then he's making a lesser light to rule the night. And then he said, not only are these things going to create days and nights, but they're going to be regular enough that we can determine for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and it was going to be consistent. And light is the power of the sun, and the rotation of the order of the solar system is precise enough that we can predict hours and days and years out and through time. They were placed here to give a place of order, and that's what intrigues me about light. Light is very orderly. And even when God created what was going, even whenever God created the sun and the moon, that was going to create order or create light, he put it in precise order. And with that, it provides order on the earth. The exact pattern of light and darkness synchronizes everything in nature. In the animal kingdom, you have the change of day and night. You have the nocturnal animals. And the daytime animals, they switch places, you know. When the sun comes up, animals wake up. The sun goes down. The animals that are nighttime come out. It's based on light and dark. Chickens and cows, which we know of domestically, they affect their egg and milk production is directly affected by the light, by sunlight. So much so that there is a whole lot of science and energy put into to maximize production from these animals. They work with lights. We as people are awakened with daylight, and we get tired when the sun sets. And that's the way God designed that we would be, that we would respond to light. It affects us. Even the seasons of the year throughout the year is characterized by the temperature, which is affected by the light. The amount of light that we come from the sun, and the way it hits the earth, the angle it hits, it creates different seasons. The temperature and hours of light, it causes the trees to change what they do. They come out of dormancy and they begin to bloom in the spring. The migratory animals, is affected by, some of them at least, and hibernating animals are affected by the sun's light on the earth. The angle it hits, the coloring, the length of days, it affects people. It affects them, and it changes what they do and their habits. It says that the order of lights was a setup for days and years. We compute time from sunlight. We count the days to an event or from an event based on sunlight or daytime, and we know it's going to happen. You know, it's not like, well, I don't know if we're going to sleep tonight for 3 hours or 20 hours, because depending on when the sun comes up again, depending on when the light gets here again, it's extremely organized and regular. The sun's timing is so exact and universal that no matter where you are, it's based on time, which has to do with position of sun. In the position of the light in our world. And even though different days and nights are longer and shorter depending on where you are through the year, It's still, there's still this precise calculation on the rotation of the earth, obviously we know, that the light and dark will change, and it will give you a daytime and a nighttime, and it's the same enough that years can be calculated off of that. Throughout the we age things according to this. So we have the seasons, and we talk about someone had a birthday this week, and they're going to be a certain age. And how do we know that? Is because of the light, the power of the sun, light and darkness sequences, and it's precise. And we know that's how many years it was. And the very fact that we can have a prediction of life, length of a predicted expected time of life, is based on the reliability of light. Throughout the Old Testament, God, they also used for signs and seasons. Throughout the Old Testament, God commanded his people to gather on certain days based on the seasons and weeks. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school class. You had the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and you had the Feast of the Passover. And God said that a certain day of a certain month, this was going to happen. And that was synchronized by light in their life. We can predict months and weeks in advance, and we know that when we get to a certain time of the year, we need to do something if we're going to have something else happen later that year. And that's because it's very orderly. It's precise. Now, that's the physical light that we need, that we depend on to function. And that light affects physical individuals. We talked about a little bit that in the wintertime, people tend to be more discouraged. And that's because our bodies react to light, physical light. The serotonin in the brain, the hormone that gives us, that helps with our moods, is affected directly by the amount of sunlight we have on our bodies. Now, that's just physical. But you know, sometimes in life, we need to look at the physical to be able to understand the spiritual. In John chapter 18, Jesus says, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You know, so many times we get wound up in what's happened here physical, but not only is it in physical, when we think about the power of the sun, I want to draw your minds this morning, think about the power of the sun, the light, the true light that's in this world. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, beginning reading in verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light." John wasn't. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the true light. "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that should believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." This is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus. So every good thing that man does, everything that man produces good is from Jesus. Jesus, the light and darkness, as just we established, the light and darkness cannot cohabitate. When light comes in, darkness leaves. Same way it is with Jesus. Jesus in truth in the Bible was always established as light. We're told to walk in the light. We're told evil men love darkness. There's a difference between light and darkness. Either we're pushing to the one side or the other. Just as God has established in the beginning that light and darkness cannot cohabitate, totally incompatible, darkness cannot stand in our lives when Jesus shines in. When our argument arises between truth, it will create a, whenever argument arises and truth is presented, it will create one of two things. Either we will create peace in the group, we finally found the truth, or it will create a fight like none other. Because falsehoods in our lives, falsehoods in discussion cannot stand in the face of absolute truth. Why did Herod vex the church this morning? Because he was faced with truth and he did not want to deal with it. People who cannot handle the truth will seek to associate with others who live in darkness and believe like themselves, or attack the character and person of the truth bearer, because there is always a fight between darkness and light. There's always a truth, always a fight between falsehoods and truth. This world, as we read, it says that this light was a light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There is this world, just as we know in the solar system, this world has no light in and of itself. There is no light here, man-made light now. It's actually, you can see it from space to a degree. But the earth that was created, there is no light on it. So just as that, we as people have no light in and of ourselves. The only light we can have, and you see pictures of the earth from space, it's beautiful because of the light that shines on it and what it reflects back. But just as the world has no light in and of itself, we as people have no light in and of ourselves. And it's only by the mercy of God that we can have a land, we live in a land of peace and stability. And it might feel like sometimes that we live, well, some people are doing the right things, but at the end of the day, it's only by the mercy of God. There is nothing in man in themselves. Without God, just as without light, it's absolute darkness. Without God, man wreaks absolute havoc. And the further man turns from truth, the further man turns from the truth and absolutes of Scripture and morality, the further they sink in this despair, loneliness, and darkness. Because either you're looking towards the light and the light's in your face, or you have your back and you're looking towards the darkness and you're living in a shadow. And just as the sun rules the day, and just as the sun and the seasons, we talked about the solar system is affected by the light. Jesus also, the true light, is the master of all times. So much so that even our calendar year is based on Jesus. We talk about we're in year 2025 AD, which is Anno Domini, which is Latin for in the year of our Lord. Now, people want to start using CE, which says common era, which means where we're at today, because they want to get away from recognizing the significance of Jesus in life. So they say, well, just CE. It's no, but we live in 2025 AD, in the year of our Lord, since the birth of Christ. Jesus not only is master of our time today, but he is also master of history and the church age. In his death, it offered salvation to all mankind, not just the Jews. He is coming back someday to rapture the church and mark the end of the current era. And then he will return to mark the end of the curse of sin on earth. It's because he is the true light, and all things go by him. So who are men? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus looks at us and he says, ye are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that is in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Jesus is saying here that we are the light of the world. Now we establish that Jesus is the only true light, and man has nothing of and of themselves. And we are on the earth. We are bound to earth, because that's where we were created. But Jesus said somehow we are to be true lights. So if you look at the analogy of the solar system that we talked about, you think about we are moons on the earth. You think about it from that standpoint. You know, the moon is unique. That it is tied to the earth through gravity. It can't escape it's not escape earth, but it's here. But when the moon is in the proper aligned with the sun, the light from the moon in the middle of the night is bright. Full moon, the clear sky, it's bright. Very bright. And just like that, we are Christians. In the presence of God, we have no light in ourselves. The moon has no light in itself. It's dark. But when the light shines on it, it can be a bright light. So just as the moon is attached to the earth, we also, as people, are attached to the earth. Just the moon has no light in and of itself, we as people have no light in and of ourselves. We are attached to the earth, we actually revolve around the earth because we're tied here. We can't get away from it. We face temptations, we face cares, we face worries, we face life here on earth. We can't get away from it. But we can keep ourselves aligned with the sun, and we can be a bright light. You know, depending on how bright the moon is, it's how much earth gets in the point between the moon and the sun. It will affect the same way as for us, how much earth we let between us and our relationship with the Father, relationship with God, will affect how bright of a light we actually are here. And you know, there is times whenever we go totally dark, and God forbid this happens. But when you have an eclipse of the moon, the earth falls totally between this moon and the sun, and there is no light. It's dark. And then there's other times that God forbid this would ever happen to us. But the moon gets between the earth and the sun, and the people can't see the sun because we're blocking it. So it works both ways. We are simply to be lined up to reflect the light from the sun back to the earth. So how do we do this? First John chapter 1, verses, 1 John chapter 1, begin reading in verse 5. First John chapter 1, I think I'm right about this. Yeah, First John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So that's pretty strong for us. When we choose in life to walk in the light, we can choose in life to walk in the light or to walk in darkness. It's an option we have. John tells us here, he says, walk in the light. And if we're told to do something, it means there must be another option. We can walk in the light. The light of the God is going to shine in our life. It's optional. Walking in light is optional, but it will create a difference in your life and what happens. You know, when light shines on the things, the radar is in the light spectrum, and infrared is also in the light spectrum. And whenever that shines against an object, it will give a distinct signature back. In the chemical world, they use near-infrared, or I guess in the farm, in the ag industry, they use near-infrared to determine the components of silage and other crops and hay. They can pick up the moisture, they can pick up the digestibility, they can pick up so much because they take a light and they shine it against this chopped up grass, and what comes back, they can tell you what it is. So as light shines into our lives, as light shines into people, there's a signature that comes back that God knows, and we can't get away from it. It's who we are. But we can choose what this light will do in our life. When we choose to walk in light, we will enjoy fellowship with God, and we will enjoy fellowship with people around us, with people of God. It says in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That is the power of light from God in our lives. It will do something for us. This is one-time lip service, does not hold muster. Because it speaks further down through there that if we say we have no sin, you're only kidding yourself. Because there's a powerful light that's shining into our lives that is free, that will free us. Lip service will not stand up to this true light. James 2, flipping back a few pages here, James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26, it says, and what does it profit, my brethren, if a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye shall give them not those things which are needful for the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And wilt thou know, O vain man, that the faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, for he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works is dead also. When we are living in the light, it will create fruit on us. If we think about plants, it will create a fruit that will come back. Now you can make a plant. Walking in light will also free us from the performance trap, because so many times, in the world we live, you can make a plant bloom and you can get fruit from a plant by using artificial light, and you can put that light, you can put that focused, and you can get something to happen. But the true light that comes from God will free us from the performance, from the urgency to perform under unnatural light. Because it says here in John chapter 1 that we will have, when we stand in the true light of God, we will see our imperfections. And not only will we see our imperfections, but since light is perfectly straight, and since light cuts across all things, we will also see the imperfections of others also. And this allows us to be on the same footing. Because so many times we want to hide under a blanket that we have a lot right. But you know, when the true light comes in, it says here, if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. If we say we have no sin, there's nothing wrong going on. If there's nothing I struggle with, we just pretty much got life put together. It says the love of the Father is not in us. But when we confess our sins, and we say, you know, we identify with our brother, we identify with people around us. Because the light that's shining in my life and convicts me, it's the same light that shines into their life and convicts them. And it draws unity together. We recognize that our salvation, when we stand before the perfect light of God, we recognize that our salvation is only through the power and grace of God. It's when I confess my sins, it's when I recognize the power of some other power outside of me that I can be saved. And we can walk away from the light towards darkness and harbor sin and bitterness in our lives. But when we keep our lives open and current before God and humble ourselves before God, we can be saved by the grace and power of God, of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 10 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So light in our life will produce fruit because we are plants. We are here, and something will happen. But we don't produce fruit in and of ourselves through unnatural means to attain favor of God. Sometimes in life we have a plant that's sick, and you just maybe we ought to put it in a greenhouse or something to help it out. But you know, you have a plant that's fully in a greenhouse under unnatural light, it can burn itself out. It can actually become weak. But when you put it outside in natural sunlight, it will get strong. The forces of the world hits it. It will change things, and it will become a plant that can be fruitful. In the plant world, I know just enough about it because I work with it sometimes. It's important that a plant gets the full range of light, not just the visible light you can see, but also the light you can't see. The ultraviolet and the infrared needs to come into the plant to make it work. And so many times when we live under unnatural light, to possibly improve fruit or to make something that isn't what it should be, we don't get the full spectrum, and we're missing parts of the light that comes from the sun that will actually make us better. So walking in the light will allow us to clean up our lives. You know, the ultraviolet rays of sun actually has a killing effect to microbes and other funguses and stuff, because it will actually kill it off. And that's the same way the sun has in our life. That when we stand in the full natural light of God, look in the light of his word, and take it all in, and allow our lives to be part, and allow our lives to reflect that, it will grow us. We will change. We have to. Just as the sun is very bright, and at times shadows hide things, if we think that we are free from all sin and have nothing to keep clean before God, we are only deceiving ourselves. We're obviously living in the shadows. Because when we truly stand before God, there might be one sin, there might be one struggle in your life that, well, I finally found victory in that. But you know, in the true light of God's word, there'll be enough, something else turn up. And what it is for me and what it is for you, it may be different angles. But that's because the power of the light we live in. So we can continue to look into the light, the book of life, and align ourselves with the full light from above. Then we can light up the world we live, not with my power, but because I reflect what God gives me. Let's kneel for prayer.